Here we are going to continue the hour by getting an update from Washington, D.C. A lot going on in Congress, of course, a couple months out from the election, but no time to think about that. The Inflation Reduction Act just passed, significant piece of legislation, one of many significant bills that have worked their way or are working their way through Congress. We're joined on the phone by U.S. House Representative David Price, Democrat from Chapel Hill, represents the 4th District in North Carolina. And Representative Price, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Good to be back, Aaron. Thank you.
A lot to talk about, but let's start because we haven't had a chance to talk in a little while, and the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, passed a little while ago. We're still coming down from the fight over passage, the discussion that happened right at the last minute before it passed. But what do you see as being the most significant effects of that bill as it starts to kind of manifest itself in policy?
Well, you're right in highlighting this bill. I think it is a very significant achievement, and it's one that took a while to work out. It's not the only achievement, however. I mean, there's a long list here of partisan and bipartisan achievements in this Congress and with this president. Starting with the pandemic relief bill on a partisan basis alone early in the Biden administration. But then the bipartisan infrastructure initiative, the bipartisan measure, modest as it was on gun safety, the CHIPS plus science bill, which gets us into the game in terms of scientific and technological research and manufacturing, the PACT bill, which does right by our veterans who were exposed to toxic substances, including the Camp Lejeune provision of that bill, which I worked on for many, many years, giving those who were subjected to toxic water supplies at Camp Lejeune years ago, giving them their legal recourse. And now and then the omnibus appropriations bills, which we've discussed before and which I'm very proud of. So this is not a standalone measure by any means, but it is a kind of culmination, I think, of a very productive congressional term. And it, as you suggest, does touch a number of critical areas. It's the energy provisions, the healthcare provisions, and the tax provisions are all significant. Just to summarize, it really makes a significant investment in energy security and dealing with climate change, something like $369 billion, we estimate, which will help help families get their own homes and appliances and cars in a more that make them more energy efficient and energy secure. It will help the country deal with its with the emissions challenge facing us with climate change, and it was not certain for a while that we would be able to do that. On health care, the Medicare, this is a long-sought goal of Democrats to let Medicare negotiate drug prices, to put a cap on the price of insulin, to continue the affordability of the Affordable Care Act as instituted in the pandemic relief, to continue to give that break to healthcare consumers. And then finally, on the tax front, paying for all this and not increasing the deficit, but on the other hand, making sure that these corporations that for years have skated scot-free, make sure they pay their fair share of taxes and make sure that tax burden, no increases here on hard-pressed middle-class folks, but some long overdue correctives of inequities in the tax code.
I always have a little bit of cognitive dissonance whenever I talk about this bill because it's called the Inflation Reduction Act, but I know, and I'm not the only one who really thinks of this as a climate change bill first, even though, as you mentioned, there's a whole bunch of different provisions and a whole lot of things that this bill does. What is something that you are proud of with this bill that maybe has kind of flown under the radar that people aren't talking about?
Well, the inflation reduction, of course, is a response to the putting that emphasis on the bill is a response to inflation, to the economic situation the country's facing right now. It's not the only challenge, but it certainly is a challenge. And there's no question that when you look at what people are paying for healthcare, especially, this is going to reduce their costs and therefore reduce inflation. It's also the tax provisions are deflationary as well in the sense of bringing in more revenue and making sure we're not adding to the deficit. So inflation reduction is an honest name for the bill, although it admittedly is designed to make it clear to anybody who looks that we are addressing the inflation issue. I think that the provisions of the bill that are most relevant to my constituents here in the 4th District, we're heavily into high tech research. We are the home of the one of the major associations of chip manufacturers. We stand to gain a whole lot by having the revitalization of the chip business in the U.S. and also the revitalization of scientific research. We look to be big winners. North Carolina State, other North Carolina institutions have punched above their weight in clean energy research and in the various centers that have been established to promote energy efficiency, to promote solar power, to promote the smart grid. All of that is going to be given a boost by this bill. And then secondly, just like the whole country, we are going to benefit from the health care provisions. We really have needed for a long time for the drug prices to be brought under control, and this is one way to do it. It worked for the VA. It will work for Medicare to negotiate these prices, and then in particularly problematic instances like insulin, to have a cap that protects Medicare beneficiaries from exorbitant prices.
Speaking with U.S. House Representative David Price, you mentioned the PACT Act already, and this is a bill that expands health care for veterans exposed to toxic substances. And I know in the discussion of that bill, the burn pits were really the primary thing that people were discussing. But you've already mentioned the impact locally on veterans who were exposed to contaminated water at Camp Lejeune. And this is a bill that, and a provision of the bill that was negotiated with a lot of bipartisan support. So say more about that and the impact it's going to have here.
Well, you got it right. And this is not, of course, the first time we've heard about this. The Camp Lejeune problem decades ago, and many, many tragic results from that in terms of birth defects and cancers and other things that flowed from just decades of contaminated water being ingested by families there, and nothing being known for a while or done about it. So we made some of those effects eligible for health care compensation a decade ago, but there has remained a glitch in North Carolina law. Not the details aren't too important. The bottom line is that families who should have gotten legal recompense for their injury have not been able to do so because of a glitch in North Carolina law, and we've tried for a decade almost to correct that. So that has now been corrected. That was added. I give the Speaker of the House a lot of credit for seeing this bill. It had been sitting there with my name on it and Greg Murphy's. It was bipartisan. It had languished. We had struggled for years to get it incorporated in other legislation, and this was the opportunity to do this. This was a train that was leaving the station, so to speak, and we were able to latch it on successfully. So I'm very, very happy to get that done.
Those are two big bills that have passed recently, and as you've already mentioned, the last year and a half, this particular session of Congress has been a very productive one with, you mentioned, gun control, infrastructure last year, and a whole lot more. With that in mind, we've had conversations, and I know you as a scholar of American politics have written books, and you're certainly not the only one who's looked at Congress as an institution, and the Senate in particular, and how it's functioned and whether it's functioning, and people have been raising concerns about that have become louder and louder over the last few years. Given the last year and a half and the success that we've had getting bills through Congress, what are your thoughts now on Congress as an institution and how and to what extent it's a functioning body?
Well, we've partially redeemed ourselves, I think, and it's important to note that we can act, and we can act in a bipartisan way, or at least a way that overcomes the filibuster. That's not to say a lot of these things are thoroughly bipartisan, especially in the House. In fact, my House colleagues very unwisely, except for just a few, dug in against the infrastructure bill. They dug in against the CHIPS bill. They certainly didn't support the gun safety bill. And some even opposed the PACT bill, Camp Lejeune. So, you know, there's a kind of diehard element in the Republican Party, which sometimes dominates the party in the House, which still holds out on these things. But we've had enough Republican support, particularly in the Senate, to overcome the filibuster and to get these things done. So that's a good thing, and I don't want to detract from it. I also don't want to exaggerate it, though. It's very, very difficult to get this done. The filibuster still stands in the way of a lot of good things that we should be doing, including the fiscal 2023 appropriations bills, which I'm particularly close to. And we have gridlock problems that there are other bills where these came from that should have passed as well, and I'm particularly thinking of appropriations. We have some problems in our own party that have made it hard to pass some appropriations bills in the House, some problems on our extreme left wing. But the basic problem in the House is that no Republicans right now will vote for any appropriations bills, even though they've had a very we've been very cooperative in the way we've written these bills and the way we've included community projects in these bills. I hope that still, you know, that there will still be a possibility that that cooperative effort will pay off and that we will be able to finalize our bills. But right now, that has to be chalked up as an uncertainty and still a casualty, I'd say, of congressional polarization.
Voting rights is also still up in the air. What are your thoughts on how that?
Voting rights. Yes. Campaign reform, mm-hmm. voting, election reform in general, and voting rights in particular, used to be bipartisan issues, as we've discussed on your program before. But no more. These are things the Republicans oppose and obstruct at every turn.
Back to a bill that did get passed, the CHIPS bill, which I think has flown under the radar a little bit compared to the other ones that we've mentioned. What should local folks know here in the Triangle about the impact of that?
Well, as I indicated, it's a boost to American capacity in terms of chip manufacturing, and that affects us here both because of the associations, the chip manufacturers associations that are located here, and the users of chips that are all over the place. So to the extent we have supply chain problems, to the extent we are being compromised by the foreign sourcing of these components, you know, this is going to give us a boost. So it does boost American high-tech capacity in that regard, and we're high users of that. And then the elements that were added in the House are also important. It's CHIPS plus science, we call it, and we're basically boosting the ARPA-E, the energy-related research and other research efforts of the federal government in scientific and technological areas. That, too, we're positioned, as I indicated earlier, with the NC State reference. We're positioned, I think, to be big winners.
What other bills are you working on? What other things are you doing in D.C. right now that are having an impact locally that folks should know about?
Well, we're still working on a student loan proposal, which I hope will make it. We're hopeful about it, which will take care of some inequities. And, you know, we're glad the president dealt with a partial forgiveness of student loans, key to especially low-income students and people in low-income jobs. That's good. I have my own student loan bill, which deals with couples who were left in an untenable situation when they split later and had serious problems, and now they're liable for each other's loans. We just need to fix that, and there's a 100,000 or so people who really need relief, and I'm hopeful that we'll get that done. That's a small thing, but it's very important to the people who are affected. And then more broadly, I'm focused on appropriations. Transportation housing bill that I preside over has some good features in it that include investments in passenger rail, very important to our desire to get Raleigh to Richmond Link completed and have a good rail service in the southeast. It has investments in housing and community development, getting into production again with elderly housing, housing for the disabled, those provisions. And then finally, for the first time, we're seriously addressing the matter of manufactured housing, how these mobile home communities can be protected and preserved and enhanced. All these things are in our T-HUD bill, as we call it, and I'm very, very anxious to see that through. We saw it through the House, but there are a lot of questions about the rest of the appropriations process, which it's not going to be completed by the end of the fiscal year. I very much hope it'll be completed by the end of the calendar year, because that's when the Congress expires and we need to have it done by then. So we're trying to, by hook or crook, get that done.
Speaking with U.S. House Representative David Price, and as we wrap up this conversation, got an election in a couple of months, and you're not on the ballot for the first time in forever. I'm sure that's got to be a little bit of a relief to you, but I know you're also watching it very closely. Just in terms of what we've talked about, the bills that are being worked on, the way the House and the Senate function as bodies, what would be the impact for the next couple of years if you end up with divided control of the House and Senate, or power changes hands from one party to another in both houses?
It would be a very harmful impact, I think. I mean, you might expect me to say that, but I don't say it lightly. It's we've talked about the bipartisan successes here. Some of these are partisan successes too. I mean, the pandemic relief was no Republican support at all on that, as it turned out, and very little Republican support on even a minimal gun safety bill, and no Republican support right now on serious appropriations bills, and by serious I mean bills that are adequate to address our needs. So and then narrow bipartisan victories on some things which we're happy about. But all that becomes much, much more unlikely and much more difficult under Republican control.
Price.house.gov for more information from Congressman Price's office. U.S. House Representative David Price, as always, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Aaron. Good to talk to you.